I recently found out that you can see a personal dietitian covered by insurance. There's this platform called Nourish that will match you with a dietitian based on whatever your concerns are, whether that's weight loss, eating disorders, autoimmune conditions, or something else. They're actually a network with major insurance providers, so most patients pay $0 out of pocket. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Justin Fields and the New York Jets, a little bit of a head start because of the new coaching hire. They can start the offseason programs, I think, a few weeks before.
Yep.
Other teams. So Justin Fields actually met the media for the first time yesterday since signing with the New York Jets. And so he was asked a bevy of questions. I'm going to play one of the questions he was asked. And before we listen to how Justin Fields answered it, you tell me how he should answer it.
Okay.
Here is the question.
What if the Jets take a quarterback here, whether it's seventh, second round, whatever? How do you feel about the possibility of a young guy who might, you know, you might have to mentor or could be like nipping at your heels?
Easy answer.
What would you say?
I thrive off competition.
Ooh.
The more you bring in, the harder I'm going to work. It's a job that I'm going to win.
Okay. I like that. Now, Justin.
Happened to me, by the way.
You were, well, it did. Were you asked the question like the exact same way after it happened?
I don't know. I don't think so. I don't know how it was asked.
And no one coached you how to answer, right?
No. But they drafted Ron Dane in the first round.
Yeah.
Had my best career of the year that year.
I wonder if Mike and Chris played the clip of the question and said, how do you think Deke's going to answer this?
I wasn't even really like the incumbent. I was just the guy.
That's true. It probably wasn't even talked about.
I was actually more like Justin Fields than some starter that was going to get replaced.
Right.
I was just kind of, this is my fourth year, just kind of the guy.
Yeah. In the case of Justin Fields, like, I don't buy what Ian Rappaport said earlier, which is that he would have been told, like, hey, you're going to be the starter. So I think that he goes into this thinking he's going to be the starter, but you never know. So play the question one more time, and then we'll hear Justin Fields' answer to said question from yesterday's press conference.
What if the Jets take a quarterback here, whether it's seventh, second round, whatever, how do you feel about the possibility of a young guy who might, you know, you might have to mentor or could be, like, nipping at your heels?
And here is his answer.
I don't really like to answer rhetorical questions, but like I said, I'm willing to teach. But yeah, I'm not really interested in, you know, rhetorical questions. So.
Before you say anything, can I defend my guy? Justin Fields pulled an Evan. You know what that is? He used a word completely wrong. But y'all know what he meant. And if y'all know what he meant, then let's not get on him for using the word incorrectly.
Whoa. But if you mean to throw the ball to your ex-wide receiver streaking down the field, but you throw it to a defender, does that matter? You meant to do it.
That's different. Come on, man.
Well, it's all about the processing for a quarterback. But you got to know hypothetical there.
Here's the thing about the English language. It's very tricky. And sometimes all of us, except for Tiki, because he's much smarter than us, we'll use a word that is completely wrong in the context, but we all know what it means. We all know what one meant.
Yeah.
So clearly, it's not a rhetorical question.
No, because
it's a hypothetical question.
Hypothetical is what he meant.
Right.
Rhetorical. Okay, rhetorical, you don't really need to answer.
Right.
So.
But we all know what he meant. So instead of getting on,
I wonder if he should have said, that's a rhetorical question.
But it's not a rhetorical question.
I know, but if he said it, if he said it that way,
right,
that's a rhetorical question. I don't need to answer it. then it's like, you know, I'm the guy.
Yeah. Well, you need to.
I'm just trying to think how he could, like, how he got confused using that word.
Oh, very simply, because it happens to me all the time. Like, he's thinking hypothetical, rhetorical, yes. Kind of sounds like hypothetical.
Yeah.
And he just flat out used the wrong word. But we all know.
It would
know
have been
what
badass
he
if he'd have said, that's a rhetorical question. I don't need to answer it.
Right. So I just wanted to defend my guy, Justin, before we get into his actual answer. We all know he meant hypothetical. So take the fangs away. Everybody's got to calm down. We all know he meant hypothetical question. And I think his answer is fine, which is basically like, it's kind of what you said without saying it, which is, yeah, it is what it is. If they bring, it's not my decision.
Right.
If they bring in a quarterback, I'm not going to be a jerk. I don't think he would be. It's a competition. Do you share information that you have as someone that was once a highly projected quarterback prospect and you were drafted to a big media market like Chicago? I'm sure. I don't think Justin Fields is a bad guy.
No.
But.
I don't know how he should have answered that question, though.
What do you mean? Are you second-guessing yourself?
No. I know how I would have answered it.
Right.
Like, how should... Because he's not... He just signed here.
Right.
It's not like he's the incumbent and he's got a long history with the Jets organization and Jet fans. Like, again, he has to earn his job.
Absolutely.
There's no reason this should be handed to him. And so... I'm going to go back. I'm going to lean on what I answered when you asked me the first time. Just, I'm a competitor.
Can you actually?
I'm going to win the. It's my job. I'm going to win it.
Can you play his answer one more time? I got to analyze this one more time because I was distracted by the rhetorical hypothetical thing.
Okay, so not the question, just the answer.
Just the answer.
Yeah. Got it.
I don't really like to answer rhetorical questions, but like I said, I'm willing to teach. But yeah, I'm not really interested in, you know, rhetorical questions.
So the only answer he gave was, I'm willing to teach, which was a fine answer.
Yeah.
I'm willing to teach. Because the question was, would you be willing to teach?
But he's not even really in a position to teach.
Well, he's learned something over the last 3 years.
I mean, he has experience because he's been a starting quarterback in the NFL, and he's had some success, rushed for 1,000 yards a couple of years ago. Got off to a pretty good start with Pittsburgh before he got usurped by Russell Wilson. But I feel like... I don't know. I mean, I guess it was fine.
I actually, in an ideal world, because we've spent so much time over the years talking about quarterbacks and drafting quarterbacks, especially the Jets. This is relatively new for the Giants, because honestly, you had Eli Manning for a million years, and you had Daniel Jones, who was kind of there for a few years. So it's sort of new for the Giants. For the Jets, we've been doing this forever.
Mm-hmm.
And ideally, what I've always wanted when the Jets draft a young quarterback is to have a competition, but mostly have a competition with somebody who is still young enough to be the guy. So it's not obvious, like...
So if he wins it, it's a good thing.
Right. It's a win-win. Because if you have a veteran, or you don't even have a veteran, and it's just handed to you the way it was in the past with a guy like Mark Sanchez,
mm-hmm.
or the way it was with a guy like Sam Darnold.
Well, I think
it's not a real competition. Like Luke McCown... did I say...
Yeah.
Forgetting
right.
his name.
Right. That's right.
Josh McCown. I got it wrong.
Oh,
Josh
McCown. Yeah.
I knew I got it wrong because I said it. Josh McCown and Sam Darnold, come on. That's a fatherly figure.
Yeah, it wasn't. But Sam, the difference with Sam is that he was surrounded, or he wasn't surrounded by like enough talent to just be okay and they'll still be successful.
But don't you think
so? Mark Sanchez was, though.
Right.
And so while I forget who was the competitor for
Kevin Clemens.
Yeah, same kind of situation.
No, not even, because he was already like a young backup.
Yeah.
He was never even a big prospect.
Right, so it didn't matter because Mark Sanchez had structure around him, right? They knew what they were going to limit his ability to do and limit his ability to make mistakes, and then the team collectively had success. It wasn't all on Mark Sanchez to bring the success.
You're right, but what my problem was with Mark and with Sam, and this is why I thought Justin would have been perfect for this and still can be, is if I'm drafting a young quarterback, I want their competition to be like real competition, and Justin Fields at 26 years old is real competition. So if the Jets did draft a Jackson Dart, and I don't think they will necessarily at 7, or they draft someone in the second or third round, that's a real competition for that young player and for Justin Fields. While in the past, when the Jets have drafted these quarterbacks, whether it's Zach...
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals, but you're scrolling your phone and maybe you're in bed, because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt, or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Wilson or Sam Darnold or Mark Sanchez, they never had real competitions.
Right.
It was fugazi. And so I always looked at a guy like Fields as the perfect person to compete with a young quarterback. Now, do I think the Jets are going to draft one at 7? Probably not.
Mm-hmm.
It's possible if Shedeur Sanders falls. It's possible if they love Jackson Dart this much. The great thing about the Jets, and I guess this is a credit to Aaron Glenn and Darren Mooji, is there are no leaks in that building anymore. So I have no idea what they're thinking.
Right.
Let's go to Dennis in Queens. How are you, Dennis?
What up, Dennis?
I'm doing good. Doing good. And look, I'm rooting for Justin Fields with every fiber in my body. But to hear him answer that question and use rhetorical incorrectly, it kind of worries me.
Come on!
But look, Tiki, high and tight. Evan, if somebody DVRs baseball games and scores them in the middle of the night,
yes.
Look, you're a dedicated sports fan, and I'm not going to argue with you.
But
at the end of the day, if we didn't draft Brock Bowers last year, who was a way better prospect than Tyler Warren is, and we took a tackle, it kind of makes it hard to believe that we're going to take a tight end.
Hold on.
Different regime.
Hold on a second.
First of all, it's a different regime.
It's a different regime. They also, I feel better about the offensive line today than I did last year with Olufashinu, but forget all of that. That phone call was so awesome because he weaved between comments so effortlessly. Like, he's winding up to pummel me as, if you're a guy that DVRs baseball games and score games in the middle of the night,
I'm a loser.
And without even, like, offering the hammer, just morphed right into a Tyler Warren opinion. Like, who saw that coming? I was waiting for the... And you're a loser, you know? It was just, imagine scoring games in the middle of the night. Olu Fashanu.
I think he was trying to prop you up as being somebody with high sports knowledge.
Oh.
Therefore, somebody with your high sports knowledge acumen, Tiki. I think
yes,
that's our word.
Yes.
Why would you suggest selecting a tight end this year when they could have had a better tight end last year?
Oh, that's easy.
And I think that was his point.
Tiki, if that is his point, Tiki hit on the first part. It's a different administration.
Yep.
But for me, because I'm the same administration, I'm the same guy, I will tell you point blank why last year I did not want Brock Bowers, and I wanted an offensive lineman, specifically Olu Fashanu. And while this year I feel differently, it's very simple. It's the state of the franchise.
Yeah.
It's how I feel about the roster. It's how I feel about the prospect. Now, one thing I don't know for sure, Sean, you're like a draft expert. He claimed Brock Bowers was a bigger draft prospect than Tyler Warren. Is that true?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
Not even close.
Definitely.
Really?
Definitely.
Yeah, it's not even close.
But
Brock Bowers was a star when he was a freshman in college. If he would have been able to come out, I've said this multiple times, if he could have come out after his freshman year when he was 18 years old, he would have been drafted in the top 10.
But Tyler Warren is going to be drafted probably higher than what Brock Bowers
is. And this is why this is important.
Okay.
The reason Brock Bowers got any doubt last year is there was a stigma on taking tight ends high in the draft because we've seen a bunch fail.
Right.
Brock Bowers breaking through last year has paved the way that Tyler Warren doesn't feel like a mistake. And
also, don't forget, Brock Bowers missed at least three games.
Yes.
Last year. Or two, was last year Georgia.
With Georgia, yeah. At the end got hurt. But the other part of it that he didn't allude to, we don't know necessarily because it's harder to judge an offensive lineman. Olu Fashanu might be a better offensive line prospect than some of the offensive line. That, they look really good on tape.
Right.
But if you did a deep dive on that, the pairing of Warren and Fashanu might be better than the pairing of Bowers and insert offensive line here.
Totally fair. My opinion is different.
That's a good point.
Because of how I feel about the Jets roster and how I feel about the team and how I feel about their needs on the offensive line. You're listening to WFAN, WFAN-FM, WFAN-FM HD1 New York, and Odyssey Sports Station. Kendrick's calling from Suffern. Hey, Kendrick.
What up, Kendrick?
Gentlemen, first of all, Tiki, happy belated.
Thank you, brother.
Of course, good to have you back. I want to get on two things here because, Evan, I completely agree with you on one take that you had to start the show and completely disagree with the other. I'll start with the disagreement. If Shador falls, I want nothing to do with him. When you look at the coaches that have taken over recently, whether it's Harbaugh, he took Joe Alt, whether it was D'Amico Ryans, yes, they got T.J. Stroud, but don't forget he traded up for Will Anderson.
Right.
The coaches that take over, that recognize what their identity is, they make their first pick as an identity pick. Even in the Broncos situation with Peyton, they took Bo Nix. I know he was there the year before, but they didn't have the first round pick because of the Wilson trade. So I don't need this regime coming in bargain shopping, even if it is at 7. So I want them 100% lockstep with you to pick Warren. And I'm going to give a few reasons, if you would let me. One, the idea that the Ohio State guys were rekindled. Well, Fashanu and Warren came in as three-star recruits to Penn State together.
Right.
So that's one thing. The other thing is, you know, O'Connell in Minnesota said something about quarterbacks. The franchises fail the quarterbacks, not the other way around. Mm-hmm. Well, you also make it seem like things happen by accident. This coaching staff, the new coordinator, he was a tight ends and passing game coach. The O-line coach was a tight ends coach. This guy, Tyler Warren, would be set up to be coached the right way. So for me, I think Tyler Warren absolutely fits what the scheme is going to be. I think he's developed in college. And the Rams, they have said something that I thought was very interesting, Tiki. I want your take on this.
Go ahead.
When they drafted Jared Verse, he transferred from Albany. And so what the Rams have looked at is that this NIL deal and all these transfers allow teams to recognize when players improve in college and they don't have the hype of the five-star recruit.
No, that's
so
a good point.
To me,
it's a very good point.
To me, Fashanu and Warren coming in as three-star recruits and elevating themselves to All-Americans, that's what I want on this Jets roster.
Right. It tells you two things, Kendrick, and your points are dead on. A guy has not reached his peak yet. When you see that type of thing happen, you go to Albany, you transfer out because you have an extra year or you just get NIL reasons to leave and you get better, then it's telling you, one, you haven't reached your potential, but two, you're also working your ass off. Like that's and going to a big school from Albany and still becoming an All-American.
Impressive.
That's damn impressive. And so, like, guys like that, they check the box on, will he work hard? does he want to be great? And you've heard me say this multiple times. My biggest problem with some of these guys that get drafted high is I don't know if they want to be great.
Mm.
And if you don't want to be great, you're not going. You're going to be average and be out of the league in a few years. If you want to be great, you're going to hang around.
Glenn is calling from Lindenhurst, New York. How are you doing today, Glenn?
What's up, Glenn?
Doing perfect today. So happy to be with you guys. And I think the Jets are set. That's why they're not worried about tight end or the quarterback. They have that Ohio State connection. We haven't seen Jeremy Ruckert come out of the shell and be a receiver yet. And I think we're going to see that this year.
I think that can happen, though, while also drafting Tyler Warren. Like, I don't think that means Jeremy Ruckert doesn't have a role on this team. I don't think it means he can't blossom as he gets rekindled with Justin Fields.
Right.
I don't buy that at all. So I don't look at it as adding Tyler Warren is somehow going to negate that. The Jets aren't all set. If they were all set, they'd be a Super Bowl favorite. Like, they still have holes. They still need to get better. This roster still needs to get better. You know, free agency is wave number one. Wave number two is like the second level of free agency. And the draft is that big third wave. And you got to hit on that draft. And also, it's important for Muji. This is his first impression. And our first impressions of general managers are very important.
Mm-hmm.
We all still remember, as Jet fans, the first impression left to us by Joe Douglas in his first draft. It wasn't a good one. So this is our first impression on if this guy may be long for the world or if Darren Muji is going to end up in the Mike Maccagnan, John Idzik, Joe Douglas rubble of Jet history. Jason is calling from Long Island. Hey, Jason.
Yeah, how you doing, guys?
All good.
Evan taking it. On Shador Sanders, I think he's just a product of Hunter. Hunter made one of the great catches off his, duck passes,
a product of Travis Hunter? Hmm. You think that, Teak?
Yeah.
I mean, there were some bailing outs.
Really?
Yeah. Look, Shador Sanders is a very good quarterback because he's had success. You can't knock the success that he had in Jackson State and then obviously at Colorado last year. But if you watched a lot of the games, some of the throws are just like, man, it's a prayer, go get it type of thing.
Mm.
And I guess to an extent, when you have a player like Travis Hunter, you can do that. I mean, talking to Matt Ryan a couple years ago when he had, what was his tight end? Why am I forgetting it? Tony Gonzalez. He said him and Tony would just be like, just throw it to me. Even if I'm covered, just throw it to me. I'm gonna make the play. And so to some extent, it's a product of having a great player like Travis Hunter, where if you're in trouble and you just need to make something happen, throw it to him. He'll figure it out, right? But there was other times where it's just like, man, that throw did not look good. It didn't come out of his hand right.
Right, right.
I think it had no chance of getting to where it was going to go. And I'm not saying this happened all the time, but there were moments.
I know that where he gets drafted matters big on this because
yes.
It's about the situation, it's about the coach, it's about a lot of different things.
100%.
If you had to project right now, 2 weeks before the draft, that Shador Sanders is going to be selected somewhere, whether it's as high as 2 or as low as 9, I guess we'll find out in 2 weeks.
Right.
What's he going to be when we sit back 10 years from now?
10 years from now?
Yeah, what are we going to say about him?
It,
good quarterback?
So much of it depends on where he goes because you see it every year. Quarterbacks in particular... It's all positions, but we're just focused on quarterbacks, get failed by what Sean was just talking about. Get failed by the organization. They're not in the right position. You just saw it with Zach Wilson
right.
3 years ago. It wasn't ideal. It wasn't the quarterback coach passes away, unfortunately. You have a rookie offensive coordinator. You have a defensive head coach. The skill position players weren't nearly good enough. And, he failed.
Yeah.
Is it all his fault? Maybe some of it, but... A lot of it was the circumstances that he found himself
no,
in.
No, I get you.
And that just stinks, man. I mean, Trevor Lawrence was he was damn near Jesus.
I know.
Right?
Oh, I know the way he was talked about. Right? He did it around here.
And look at him.
I know.
He failed his first couple of years. Why? Because he's had 3 coaches.
I just find these discussions so fascinating because in 2018, as the Giants and Jets... We're both in position to draft a quarterback at 2 and 3. We know what happened. Saquon Barkley, yep. Sam Darnold. We don't have to redo that. But we know that Baker Mayfield was the first quarterback taken. Sam Darnold was the second quarterback taken. Josh Allen was the third. Mm-hmm. Josh Rosen was the fourth. And then you have Lamar Jackson. And as we sit here 7 years later, it's pretty easy to give strong opinions on all those guys.
Of course.
Josh Rosen, I don't even know what he's doing right now.
He got cut immediately.
He's out of the league.
I don't think he was in the league 3 years after he was drafted.
Right, and at the time, there was debate. I remember the Giants being connected to Josh Rosen, potentially at two. So I'm just so curious about Shedeur Sanders, because there seems to be so many wild opinions on him. I'll give you mine, and I admit it's novice eyes. I'm not watching every game. Uh-huh. I think he's going to be an average quarterback in this league. I think he's going to be decent. I think he's going to be a starter 7 years from now. Is he bouncing? Is he Baker Mayfield, which is pretty much what I just described? Maybe. Now, if he's on the same team, I think it's a win. If he's not on your team anymore, like Cleveland, it's a loss.
Honestly, Baker's a good comparison.
You like that one?
Because Baker was obviously completely different personality. You know, maybe not, actually. Personalities are actually pretty similar.
Oh, I think they're very similar.
Very similar.
There's a reason I use them as an example.
Skill sets maybe also are similar. He's taller, obviously, than Baker is. But Baker was failed by Cleveland.
Correct.
Right? And then shuttled out after he had an injured shoulder season and was basically relegated to backup duty. And so he bounced around and became a journeyman. And then he finally got into a place that was able to believe in him.
That's
Tampa.
Right.
And all he does is win games.
That's why it's tough to say. Like, if I asked a Giant fan or a Jet fan, Shedeur Sanders becomes Baker Mayfield, it's a complicated thing to answer to say
but
if that's
also
a win or not.
It's also a compliment.
It is a compliment, but it's, I guess, the negative that you would have is, well, Cleveland doesn't have him anymore. Mm-hmm. So if he's doing all of this, he's had a 7-year career.
Right.
And he's doing it all on the same team, and he's still there for 7 years, that's a win. If I draft a quarterback and he's my quarterback 7 years later, I probably did something right, even if he's not a Hall of Famer on skates.
No, I think you're right, but it's very rare that you see that happen because of the way, look, the NFL kind of screwed up. They were trying to save their system, their finances, their pocketbooks, because you'd see these, say, offensive linemen get drafted at number two, and the two slot was making umpteen millions of dollars. Now, all of a sudden, every offensive lineman wanted that much money,
mm-hmm.
even if they weren't worth it. But that's how the market was getting set. So they changed the rules in the draft, and they give this fifth-year option to your first-round draft picks. Now, the fifth-year option, if you're outside the top 10, it's manageable. The fifth-year option inside of the top 10 is basically the franchise tag.
Right.
And so if you draft an average quarterback like you're talking about, are you giving him the franchise tag in his fifth year?
That's where it gets complicated.
Especially with the franchise tag in 2027 likely to be over $50 million.
So the answer is if...
Think about that.
No, you're right. So if Shedeur Sanders is Baker Mayfield, you guys would say no to that, right?
Right, because by the time his fifth year comes, which will be 2030, it's almost going to be $60 million that you're giving him.
And you're not paying him that.
It's not worth it.
Right.
And so he's good, but he's not worth $60 million even for a year.
And if he's Baker Mayfield, I'm operating the assumption by those 4 years, it's a different regime because you probably won't have the winning that goes with it.
Right.
And you know the way regimes feel about their own guys.
Right.
And if you hold on to a guy that's not yours, well, then maybe you end up with Daniel Jones in your pants.
I don't know if I agree with that, because if you follow the Baker Mayfield script, at least for the first 3 years in Cleveland, and then you don't get the derailment... He did a pretty good job once he was inserted as the starting quarterback, and if he put up those numbers, if Shedeur Sanders...
His first games was against the Jets,
yeah,
right?
I'm aware.
Good Thursday night game.
Thanks, bro. Thank you. Yes. Yeah, no kidding.
No, it darts.
And it was celebrated on NFL Network like the biggest event in the world.
All right, because then they give...
Yes, they ended the losing streak.
No, but they ended up...
Oh, it was the Bud Light got unlocked.
Yes.
That was a big thing. Right. And who did Baker Mayfield replace, Tiki?
He replaced...
Oh, come on. You know this.
I don't remember.
He replaced my guy.
Who?
Tyrod Taylor.
Oh, that's right.
The answer to
that was the beginning of Tyrod Taylor's
odyssey.
Like, terrible injury, get replaced odyssey.
Yeah, like any question over the last 7 years about who did this person replace?
Right.
The answer is actually Tyrod Taylor.
Who did Justin Herbert replace?
Tyrod Taylor. But if Shedeur Sanders is drafted by the Giants specifically, can't say this about the Jets. He's drafted by the Giants. He gets inserted the third game of the season, and he ends up going 6-7, those 27 touchdown passes to 14 interceptions. And he finishes 6-7. Brian Daboll is not fired. So you're completely wrong with your opinion, Sean. That they would not be an administration change. You'd have hope going into next season, saying they found their guy.
But I'm not. I'm talking about 3 years down the road of early Baker Mayfield.
Then it gets complicated. That's what I'm saying. Then it gets complicated. We'll get back to your calls coming up at 888-808-1019. And if you listen to us the last few weeks, you hear that things have gotten very heated between Met fans and Yankee fans. There's been a civil war. Well, we discuss a subject that no one wants to touch, and that is it possible that you can be a good baseball fan in this town and actually root for both the New York Mets and the New York Yankees? We'll give it a careful examination coming up. Toll-free number is 888-808-1019. My wife and I very rarely fight. We very rarely disagree. But there is one disagreement we have. She came from a Yankee household. She came from a Giants household. She came from a
Bolo.
She came from a Knicks household. And yes, she came from a Rangers household. Obviously, she married me and understands that I am the complete opposite. I am a Mets fan. I am a Nets fan. I am a Jets fan. And I am an Islanders fan. And so my wife loves that. She accepts that. She roots for all of the teams I root for. But every once in a while, she wonders, why can't we all just get along? Why, as a Met fan, can't you also root for the Yankees? Why, as a Nets fan, can't you also root for the Knicks? Why? And it goes on and on. And I'm like, baby, you just don't understand. Like, that can't happen. Now, Rick Pitino, who's done a great job at St. John's and is a New Yorker, threw out the first pitch. Or I don't think he actually threw out the first pitch. I think Zuby threw out the first pitch. But he was a part of being honored yesterday at Citi Field. And before the game, as Rick Pitino was sitting there in his Met garb, he was asked point blank about growing up as a Met fan or a Yankee fan. And I want everybody to take a listen and let me know if you accept Rick Pitino as what he claims, which is someone who roots for both the Yankees and the Mets.
I think you're on record saying you are both a Yankees and Mets fan. What was the nature of your baseball fandom growing up and today?
Well, as a kid, I used to go watch Mickey Mantle, Roger Maris, even reserves like Hector Lopez, Johnny Blanchard, Kubek, Richardson, Cletus Boyer, one of the great third basemen of all time, Whitey Ford on the mound, Yogi. And, you know, it's you grow up as a youngster sitting in the bleacher seats, I think, for $1.18 at the time, if I can remember, with my two girl cousins while I lived with my grandmother in the Bronx. But I was always a Met fan of Kuzmin and Seaver and going back to Tommy Agee. And I'm one of the few people that rooted for both teams. Anything with NY on it, I'm 100% behind it. Certainly, Donovan Mitchell has worked with the Mets for a long period of time.
Senior.
I love Donovan Jr. as well as senior.
All right. Before I give an opinion, Tiki, as someone who moved here from the great state of Virginia, do you buy Pitino as someone who roots for both the Mets and the Yankees?
Let me correct you real quickly. It's a Commonwealth. But
oh, yeah.
Sorry about that.
No, I don't buy that at all.
You don't buy that.
He was born in New York. I was just looking up his bio, and I had to ask Sean where Bayville was. He said it's rich money, North Shore, out on the island, 15 minutes from Shea.
Right.
It was then Shea. He's a Met fan. You got to be.
He's just being
politically correct.
No, no, he's not a Met fan.
I actually...
Because Met fans can't be both?
No,
they would
because...
not dare be both?
Because, I hate to be literal here, he went in depth with the Yankees. Mm. He went on the surface with the Mets. With the Yankees, he's mentioning Hector Lopez and Cletus Boyer. with the Yankees, that is. With the Mets, Tom Seaver and Jerry Kuzman. So I think his answer tells you he's probably a Yankee fan who's trying to say the right things
and
because he's at Citi Field being honored.
Check your phone that I just texted you, Evan. Mm.
Why are you doing that?
Because I think it adds to the context of it.
So he is showing me a picture from July 24th, 2024. Oh, boy. This is a smoking gun. It is a picture of Rick Pitino
series too.
At a Mets-Yankees game wearing a Yankee jersey.
Okay, so here's the question.
He's a Yankee fan, so I was right!
Who did he go to the game with?
It's also at Yankee Stadium.
Yes, it's at Yankee Stadium. Who did he go to the game with?
He is sitting next to a younger man wearing a Met hat.
Yes, he is. And right behind him, there are two gentlemen, one in a Yankee jersey and hat, and another in a Mets jersey.
So what does that tell you?
He's in a mixed section? I don't know.
He's a Yankee fan. He is a Yankee fan who tried to say the right things yesterday because he was being honored by the Mets. And what he should have just said was, I appreciate the Mets honoring me. I'm not anti-Mets. I don't do big brother, little brother, but I grew up as a Yankee fan. And I think his answer told you that because, again, he went more in depth on the Yankees than he did the Mets. So
just admit to it.
Exactly.
Right, I'm from Virginia, and I pick a side.
That's my point. Like, this Met-Yankee thing, like rooting for both, I mean, does it really exist? Like, people like to say that. I don't think it's a real thing. I think it's like the dodo bird. We think it's a real thing, but it went extinct many years ago.
I think it's different. So it's we're parsing words here, but I'm a Yankee fan. Obviously, I told you how I became a Yankee fan. I met a bunch of the Yankees, including CC and others. And so I became a fan as a non-New Yorker because of who I met with the organization.
Right.
Right? But I don't hate the Mets. I'm not rooting for them per se, but I don't want to see them fail. You know what I mean? I'm not a Met hater.
I think
there's a better way to put it.
And I think that does exist. And I would buy Rick Pitino and others as, hey, I'm a Yankee fan, I don't hate the Mets, or hey, I'm a Met fan, I don't hate the Yankees. I think that's become more challenging over the years to continue to toe that line. But I'd understand that more.
Why?
But the idea that you're a fan of both teams, I don't buy that.
Why? Because of Loogie? It gets harder to be that?
Because
Tommy's claiming big brother status already?
Has nothing to do with Tommy. Has nothing to do even with Juan Soto. I'll tell you exactly what it has to do with. All right, which is why when I listen to Rick give his explanation, a part of me wonders if I could have handled this. In 1962 through 1996, the Mets and the Yankees coexisted in a world in which they did not play each other. Period. Stop. They never played other than fake exhibition games that they tried to make a big deal called the Mayor's Trophy game.
Which is why, as a football player in New York, I never understood. Coming also from Virginia, I never understood the Jet-Giant rivalry because you did not play each other except for a fake third preseason game.
Well, but you would play each other every once in a while in a regular
season
game.
Every once in a while, but it didn't matter.
I get that.
There was no meaning to the game unless both happened to go through the Super Bowl. The stakes weren't high enough. It's just a regular season game.
But they could play each other. The Mets and the Yankees did not.
Yeah, and by the way, you're alluding to a time when Rick Pitino was 10, like very impressionable.
No, well, yeah, right. But what I'm saying is I could understand, even if I didn't live it, in 1966 through 1973, being someone who says, oh yeah, I like both teams.
Mm-hmm.
Because think about it, they were two ships passing in the night.
Right.
The Mets were lovable losers just created by after the Giants and Dodgers left.
Those were his teenage years.
That's why I'm trying to understand it. The Yankees are winning championships. Then, as the Yankees begin their decline, the Horace Clark era, as it's called, the Mets begin their rise, and they win the World Series.
No, but there's something
then,
getting lost.
Hold on, I'm not done yet. I'll get back to you. Then the Mets start declining, and the Yankees come back up. And so they were always two ships in the night who also, to my point, never played each other. So I could understand, even if I didn't live it, how there could be a peace between the Mets and the Yankees where even some would genuinely root for both.
You're fundamentally leaving out a very important piece of this.
Go ahead.
Forget the fact that they didn't play and the two ships passed the night, who was relevant and who wasn't. Baseball, and up until the last 8 years or so, the Giants or Jets, well, baseball, let's talk about first, you play every night. So even if you're a fan of both, when did we start getting this 2-3 TVs and one-room technology? Last decade?
Yeah, it wasn't in the 50s.
You got to make a call on what you're watching every night.
So you had to make a decision.
You had to make
even
a decision.
Even though a lot of those games, especially if you go to the 60s, weren't even on TV every single night.
So then if you went to the radio, whatever you did, the point is, Evan, you still made a decision on where your fandom lied. Even if there was no hatred for the other team, you still had to be a fan of one team, not both. Because if you were a fan of both and you were just, you know, every night making a change, then are you really a fan of either? You know, you got to pick one to stick with and follow.
So you're saying it couldn't have even happened in the 60s and 70s?
Right, and that's why I don't think it can happen now with the Giants and Jets on that flip side, because at least 8-10 years ago, we lived in a world where they never played at the same time.
No,
now there's a lot of games.
It's crazy, like growing up, the Jets and Giants never played at the same time.
Right. Yeah.
So I could see, and that's why as a kid growing up as a Jet fan, the local team I disliked the least, if you get the double negative, was actually the Giants.
Yeah.
Because there wasn't that threat.
Right. And you could always see both.
You could always see both. Yep. They didn't play each other often, to your point, though they did play each other.
Yes.
And there was just nothing there. I'm just trying to read the room in terms of the older Met and Yankee fan on how there could be this, yeah, I root for both team thing. I don't think that exists now. And a lot of that is interleague play. They play six times a year. They played in a World Series in 2000. You want to throw in the fighting over players like Juan Soto? Sure, throw that in. But I think it was long gone
That's a recent phenomenon.
I agree with you.
Never used to fight Yankees for players.
Dude, it changed in 97.
Yeah.
The moment that Dave Malicki took the mound at Yankee Stadium on June 16th, it was over. Because now they play each other. You can't give me this, you root for ball. They're playing each other! You can't root for two teams when they play each other! Because then you got to make a decision.
Well, my mom did when I played the Buccaneers.
that's far different.
Right.
Yeah, but one of the things Evan is leaving out here is we as Met fans, Evan, myself, we are descendants of the Giants and the Dodgers. Because whether it was our father, our grandfather, they likely rooted for those teams. And they did play a lot in the World Series. So my hatred for them comes from my grandfather, who was a Giant fan. Giants left, became a Met fan, but hated those Yankee teams because they beat his Giant team. So it was passed down from generations. So Patino, obviously a little bit younger, but I know like Evan's father, the way he feels about the Yankees. There was a real rivalry when we had three baseball teams in this town. But and we as Met fans are descendants from those Dodger Giant fans.
We are. And so for someone like me, I certainly had that in my blood because my grandfather was a New York baseball Giants fan. Mm-hmm. But there are a generation of fans who didn't get the baseball from their dad or mom, who just picked up on it on their own. So I think, yeah, for us, there's that we were told to not like the other team. But I think for many others, it was just they started watching baseball.
Do you tell your children not to like the other team?
So, such a great question, T. That's such a great question because that's part of the issue in the Roberts household.
Mets suck.
My father, who is very anti-Yankees, has said numerous times to both Jet and Spence, you know, boo Yankees. And my wife's like, you know what? They don't have to be Yankee fans, but let's make them not dislike the Yankees. Mm. So I have, as a good father, taught my kids to respect the New York Yankees. That died a few months ago.
Why?
Had nothing to do with me. I'll tell you how it died.
Okay.
Jet was at school, and he told me about the Yankee fans. Like
the kid Yankee fans.
He told me all about him, and he said, "Dad, I hate the Yankees." And I said, "Son. We don't want to hate the Yankees. Abuelo is a Yankee fan. T.O. is a Yankee fan. We want to have respect for the Yankees." And he said, "No, I hate the Yankees."
Wow.
And I said, "Can you tell me more?" And he's like, "Yeah." And he starts naming the kids and what they say. They tell me about all the championships. I said, "All right, I got a retort for you, Jet. Ask these children how many they saw." Because they're eight. So you know what that means, and this is much better than Loogie and I's world. They've seen zero.
Yeah.
Like, unfortunately for Tommy and I, when we were in high school and they would play that card, they had 96 and 98 and 99, unfortunately, 2000.
Yeah, we grew up in a dynasty as a Met fan when the Yankees were in a dynasty.
So we couldn't even use that argument. Mm-hmm. I told Jet, you tell them how many they saw.
Right.
And their answer is zero. So I tried to make him okay with the Yankees, but the Yankee fan fathers and mothers are causing their children to be such douches.
Bad parenting, clearly.
That Jets made a decision long before BT paid him off.
That's such big brother attitude.
By whom?
By the Yankee parents. God bless those
kids. I'm just telling you. Now, I have a complicated question for you guys. Because the Rick Pitino thing is interesting and it's curious, and we'll get your calls in a few minutes. But I received an email that I was going to read on the Rico, and I said, no, it's not. It's better here. It's better for Tiki, Tommy, and Loogie to understand this one. It was a fandom question from a guy named Brendan. Are you ready to hear this?
Yep.
Evan, I have a question for you about my Mets fandom. I was born in the early 80s, okay? Early 80s. So that's basically us, right?
Yep.
I was born in 83. What year were you born? 77?
75.
Oh, that's right. You're 50. 75? All right, so we're there.
Jeez. I almost feel like that was a troll. But
that was. That was a subtle shot. Right?
I didn't mean to. I'm just bad at math. I was born in the early 80s. And
I own my 50 and wear it proudly.
Yeah, you should. I was born in the early 80s. My dad and my aunt were huge Met fans, so naturally I was a fan of the Mets.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up going to a few games a year, but by the time I really understood baseball, the Mets weren't very good, and my older cousins, all Yankee fans, started bringing me to Yankee Stadium.
Mets suck.
The Yankees were just a cool team to root for, and I was easily persuaded because I have no backbone. Eventually, I became a part-time season ticket holder to the Yankees.
Oh, he's a Yankee fan.
The tailgates were great, and they were winning. And so I was hooked and always had that soft spot for the Mets. But in the last few years, I cut the cord. I didn't have the YES Network, but I did have SNY. And I slowly started watching the Mets without telling anybody. I'm now hooked on the New York Mets. I watch and listen to every game. I even went to a game all by myself on Monday night.
Wow.
I loved every second of that cold night.
By himself?
By himself! I've since come to my Yankee fan friends to much ridicule, but I'm all in, and I'm never going back. So do you, Evan Roberts, consider my Met fandom legitimate, or am I a fraud?
This is a very
complicated,
interesting and complicated case.
That's why I brought it here to Evan and Tiki and away from the Rico, because I honestly don't know how to answer it. I'm curious how you guys will.
Yes. Born Mets fan.
Yes.
But got influenced by friends and circumstances to being a Yankee fan.
During the dynasty.
During the dynasty.
Mm-hmm.
So he bandwagoned it.
Mm-hmm.
And then after getting rid of cable, cutting the cord, as he said.
Yeah.
So there was no YES Network. And the only baseball he could regularly watch was on the great SNY.
Mm-hmm.
And so he turned back into a Mets fan.
Yes.
That's what was available.
Correct. You're sweating over there.
Yeah.
How do I answer this?
I think it's legit.
Legit Mets fan?
Legit Mets fan. I think he's just easily influenced and has grown as a man because he's no longer influenced by the Yankee fan.
Interesting. I kind of like that. You know, you're young, you're in your teen years, the Yankees are a dynasty,
you just
want to
fit, you want to fit in.
You want to fit in.
Maybe he's a nerd like you. And so, I can be cool if I'm a Yankee fan. And so he wanted to be cool, but then he had to come back and be himself.
So legitimate Met fan.
Legitimate Met fan.
Sean Morash.
All right, I have two ways to pick at this. Number one, I just want this on the record. I don't believe this guy. I believe he wanted an email read in either the Rico or this show to cause fodder so you can go back to his friends. Look what I caused. I don't believe it.
Come on.
I don't believe it.
Come on, bro.
And wait, here's...
What other proof would you need?
Okay. Now let's go into the email. And this is where I think my ultimate answer is going to be he's a complete fraud if he's not. And this is why I can't call him a legit Met fan. He smoking gun. He cut the cord, right?
Mm.
I'm sorry. How did you get SNY? How? And we love SNY.
You're really going to get into the weeds on
that. No. But if your excuse is I cut the cord and my only way to watch baseball was turning to the Mets on SNY... I mean, again, you found a way to watch SNY as a cord cutter. You could find a way to watch the YES Network.
Maybe it's the service he had. Who knows?
You said cord cutting.
Yeah, but whatever. Certainly, there's, remember, there was PlayStation View. Right. There's DirecTV Now. There's FuboTV.
If you care that much about the Yankees to begin with as a fan, and you make the decision. We have this conversation about cord cutting all the time. You are going to make sure you check the boxes of finding the one where you could watch your teams.
Yeah.
The moment he made that decision and knew he was giving up the YES Network... To me, you were never a real Yankee fan to begin with.
Okay, so give me one quick question.
Okay.
You have YouTube TV?
No.
I used to. Had to give it up.
Did it? Which one did it not have?
I believe it or not, I think I gave it up when they cut out YES Network because I was like, if I'm not going to have the Nets or the Yankees,
that's
I'm out.
What you're saying?
So I'm pretty sure.
So my buddy Mike has YouTube TV, and he can't watch the Yankees.
Yeah.
But so he has to get the streaming or whatever, however he gets it.
But
he's a Met fan.
Okay.
And so he can see SNY.
But that's my only point. If you're really a fan of the team and you cut the cord, you find a way.
All right, so you've explained he's a fraud Yankee fan. What about Met fan? I don't think he cares anymore about being a Yankee
fan. No, my point is...
I think he's a YouTube TV guy.
Yeah, I think he...
That's my guess.
Maybe.
I think he goes where the wind blows, and my guess would be, he talked about all the fun. If the Mets went into a five-year rut of not making the playoffs and they weren't so much fun, he would easily flip-flop back.
Yeah, well,
I think he's a fraud, period.
You're also sensitive here because he left you, okay? Mm-hmm. He left you for someone else.
Yeah, Lester leaves me. We got a million other ones. You know, we don't have our owner begging to fill seats.
Okay. Tommy Lugauer, is he a fraud fan or a real fan?
What's this fella's name?
Brendan.
Brendan.
I love that you emailed to Rico because you proved what I've been saying for months. The Mets are now Big Brother.
And Brendan, this is what I was talking about.
Brendan represents, hold on, Brendan represents a portion of our tri-state area society.
Tommy's trying to get everybody to hate the Mets.
There are Yankee fans and there are Met fans, and no matter what, they're going to be fans of those teams. And then there are people, wherever the cooler place is to be, wherever the winning is, wherever the wind blows, they're going to go. So the wind has blown to Queens, and Brendan is not alone. So, Brendan, you are a Met fan. You have jumped on board with Big Brother, and you know something special is brewing in Queens. And they're losing, and they're used to losing people. So, Soto, now Brendan, and everybody else.
Oh, God.
It was him.
Oh, you think Tommy wrote the email?
His preparation for that response. It was him.
He
wanted more Big Brother, Little Brother fodder. He set you up, Evan.
Sean, here's why I don't believe you.
Did you read his actual email address? Is it LouGower@audible.com?
Hold on, now I've got to look to make sure.
It is to make up a new email?
Here's my problem with you, Sean. This is the second straight day you're spreading wild helicopter theories of conspiracies. Yesterday, I told you that I received an email from someone who claims to work in the Met Pitching Lab. And
you told me. So that's it. I did.
It was an AI song about the Met Pitching Lab. And immediately you're like, you wrote the email of it. Actually, I apologize. It's been a while. Fake Sean, can you remind me how real Sean responded to the idea that someone from the Met Pitching Lab sent in an AI song about the Pitching Lab?
Evan, if you think someone in that dopey, stupid, most likely made-up Pitching Lab took the time to email the Rico Bronya, you're out of your mind! You're out of your mind!
There you go. So this is the second straight day you're claiming emails sent to the show are not real. Like they're just planted for some reason.
I'm calling Escaio. Call the show. I want to hear you. Call the show.
I will give you my answer on the subject. I think that...
Give him the number, Sean.
It's 888-808-1019.
The reason why I have to defend him is I remember 1995 and 1996 as a Jets and a Nets fan. And I was about 11 or 12. And the reason I'm bringing those years up is I got into baseball first. That was the first sport I ever learned. My dad taught me. And I'd go to games. And then naturally, you start to watch other sports.
Right.
But I felt pain immediate when I was watching the Jets and the Nets, even if my fandom was new. So my look at fandom is, if you watch all the time and you hurt when your team loses, I don't care if you've been watching them for a year or 20 years, that's a fan. So if that guy is watching every Met game and he's living and dying on everything, I don't care what happened 15 years ago.
Right.
That's a fan right there.
Yeah. So real fan.
Real fan.
All right.
So everybody agrees except for Sean. Let's go to Ralph on the Jersey Shore. How are you, Ralph?
Ralph, what's up, dude?
Ralph going once. Ralph going twice.
Ralph going twice. Hello, hello, hello. I'm here. Just dropped off my granddaughter.
Oh, nice.
Say Vandal.
I'm a Yankee fan. I'm a baseball fan, lifelong baseball fan. I'm 71 years old. I'm also a New York fan. I almost sound like Rick Pitino a little bit. I love New York sports. But I am a Yankee fan. If the Mets were playing the Yankees, I'd be rooting for the Yankees all the way. No question about it. But if I'm looking for baseball and the Mets are playing, I'll watch them and I'll root for them.
See,
I'm also a Giant fan. I'll root for the Jets.
Ralph,
yes.
It just hit me listening to you and you explaining your age. I think this is a generational thing. I think it goes back to Pitino. I made the point that it was different in the 60s and 70s,
right.
And then it's tough to grow out of old habits. I think anybody who claims to be what Ralph is, which is, yeah, I'm a Yankee fan, but I root for both teams.
And Pitino.
But I think they're all over the age of 65. And I'm not putting you down, by the way. That's totally okay. You came from an era which it was more understandable because there wasn't interleague play. It was a different world. I don't think there's anybody in their 20s or 30s or even 40s that represents that view. Not one. Well, I think it's dead.
The Subway Series didn't exist, and there was never in the World Series.
Mm-hmm.
So as you mentioned before, about 30 minutes ago, they just never played.
Right. So you can pull it off.
What is the harm?
I get it. That's why, like, 1990, if you were born in 1990, how old are you? I can't do math. 35?
35.
Yes. Yeah. if you are 35 and under, you don't know what a world looks like when the Mets and the Yankees don't play in the regular season. If you're much older, like our last caller, you lived in that world, and so it's possible in your brain to say, I like both teams. Right. It's an age thing. It's all hit me.
It's also social media. It's in your face all the time now. Back in the day.
That is true. That's the biggest thing.
Mm.
You can't not see it.
Correct. Like back in the day, we had a beeper. That's about it. Now I can't go on Twitter and not see my Yankee fan friends acting a fool or vice versa. So it's just in your face. So it fosters the hatred, I would say.
Tommy got a bunch of the 911 calls, beeps.
Yeah, I'm sure. From my mom. I'm trying to get some here. Come on.
I just wanted to tell you I was thinking about you.
That's not 911. Tommy, you can't fool anybody. You weren't trying to get any in high school.
Come on. Why not? Now. I had a girlfriend in high school. How dare you?
Did she live in Canada, Tommy?
Oh, stop it. The Niagara Falls region.
Let's go to Donna in North Babylon. How are you, Donna?
Hi, I'm good. I live in a household where we're Mets and Yankee fans. We tape one, and here's how it started. My boys are in their 40s. Mm-hmm. And it was easier for me and my sister to get them to Shea. So they are Mets, Giants, and Rangers. But their father's a diehard Yankee fan. We watch both teams. And I can tell you, positions and everything on both teams.
Look at that.
All right.
I think it's much easier to do that in 2025, as Sean pointed out, with the multiple TVs. It's easier to consume everything at this point, especially if you want to be a DVR craze like me. John in Oxford, Connecticut. Hey, John.
What up, John?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. Listen, this is very simple. You're making this a little too complicated, because I'll tell you something. If you love baseball, you love one team. All of these people that are talking about one side or the other side, I like them both. You know what they're telling you? They're not baseball lovers. They're sports fans. Now, Tiki, you know this. Because
you're the
least sports fan that I've ever met. Because you don't love anything. You
I love
you
Liverpool.
Don't. You,
I love
you
Liverpool.
Look at sports. Well, Liverpool. There you go. There you go. There you go.
Right, and it's funny because
you just said it.
It's like,
so you gotta love.
There's no way I could. There's no way I could like and watch Man City,
right?
Manchester City, because I love Liverpool,
right?
It's like I want them to lose.
That's why Tiki, by the way, offers pound for pound the best sports opinions on this radio station. Because at the end of the day, he's like, yeah, I could live.
Right.
I don't care. It's not going to affect me. I'm not going to get emotional about it.
I'll tell you how I feel about Pete Alonso.
And even
when I get emotional about the Giants, I still just default back to analyzing it.
Yeah.
Because that's what I do.
I don't know. Sometimes you do get very emotional. Like when you tell a grown man you're dead to me. That was my favorite part.
I was just speaking on behalf of the fan base.
I get you.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com. Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.